Well, the last time I came here, I fell off the platform. Some of you may remember that. And, you know, I actually didn't really fall. It was planned. So for those of you that came up to me afterwards at the end of the service and were like, "Are you really okay?" Yeah, it was planned. The response wasn't planned. I was hoping that someone would help me. Thank you for helping me. And the point that I wanted to make was, when we see someone in need, we'll help them. And that was part of the sermon. So if you were worried about me, don't be. The only thing really that got hurt was my shoe. It kind of had an indent, and it still has kind of a weird look to it now. And, you know, actually, ever since I was a little kid, I always wanted to be an actor. And, you know, I don't know if it's just reality or, you know, just, you know, circumstances in life kind of take you different routes. And you know, those childhood dreams that you have just get crushed. And I'm never going to be on the big screen. I've given up on that. Although some of you are, "Wow, like, look at that. I really thought he heard it." But, you know, it was reality. And I remember another time when one of my dreams got crushed. I wasn't just a child. I was, let me think now, probably about 25 or 26 years old. And I like to think that I have a nice singing voice. I have a high tenor voice. And I love to sing. I love to worship the Lord. And I love to sing harmonies and things like that. And I had always kind of dreamed, you know, after I became a Christian, that one day I would be this incredible superstar singer for God. And it, not like Justin Bieber kind of singer, but more like Michael W. Smith kind of singer, you know, someone that could, you know, really lead people close to the Lord. And I always thought, wow, that'd be so great and awesome. And, you know, one of my really good friend, well, he used to be a good friend, said to me, "You know, Glenn, it's just not going to happen. You're not that good of a singer." And I was crushed. You know, I thought, you know, this is like a dream, you know. And he just destroyed me then. And there's a TV show that I like to watch. It's called America's Got Talent. And, you know, some of the people on that show really need people to be like, "Dream on, you know." You know, you can do that at birthday party. But some people really are talented, you know, and it's wonderful, and they should pursue that. And you know, they're gifted and they're unique and all that kind of stuff. But sometimes, you know, those dreams that we have, we need them. We need a reality check, right? And it's not going to happen. It might be a passion of ours. It might be interesting. But that's not where God wants us to go. And so we need someone to tell us that, right? And, you know, sometimes as we go through life, we kind of give up these big hopes and dreams that we have, and we settle into kind of routine. And the key word there is settle. And some of us begin to settle in a lot of areas. And I don't mean just settling like my chest, you know, it was buff and now it's slid down and it's settled. Not that kind of settling. I mean that, you know, after high school or after university, and you just settle into, you know, a 9-to-5 job, and I'm going to be here for 40 years. And yeah, I might move up the corporate ladder a little bit. And sure, I'm going to pursue a good pay. But, you know, this is it. You know, I'm not going to be an actor, and I'm not going to be the singer. I'm just, you know, you give up those dreams. And some of us have really great and noble plans. We want to change the world. We want to do incredible things, you know, and make a difference in this world. And we give those up, and we settle. And we settle. But God has a plan for all of us. and we shouldn't be settling. In fact, there's a guy in the passage that we read about, his name's Peter, and he did incredible things for God. If you read through the rest of the Gospels, and you read through the book of Acts, he did some tremendous things for God. He not only walked on water, even if it was a short time, hey, it's longer than I've ever walked on water. He healed people. He preached. They did incredible things. Peter and many of the disciples, they really blasted the church into existence. People were turning from a life that was heading away from God and towards hell. And God used those men, including Peter, to turn their lives around. And thousands of people came to the Lord. Talk about turning the world around. They didn't settle for going back to catching fish again, although they did for a short time. They didn't settle for that. It wasn't enough. And this morning, I really want to talk to all of you about not settling for maybe what you think you're good at. Well, I'm good at numbers, so I should be an accountant. Yeah, I'll do that. I'll count someone else's money and tell them how to invest it. I'm not knocking accountants, by the way. Wish I was one. I'd have a little bit more in my wallet. But you know, is that it? Is that all that God wants you to do? Does God just want you to be a teacher? Nothing wrong with teaching. Incredible profession. Happened to be one. But are you settling for that? Because God has incredible plans for you. You just got to figure out what they are. And so that's what we're going to look at this morning. And I hope you're there with me. I hope that you're excited. Even if you're not excited, at least pretend you are. And you know what? God's Spirit will touch you and move you. And you'll realize, or I'm praying that God will help us to realize, you know what? In some of the areas of my life, I've just settled for getting by. That's not where He wants us to be. God wants us to be pushing forward, because is it the army? There's no life like it. Is that the army or the navy? They're wrong. That's the poster for Jesus. There's no life like it. That's the incredible life. So let's pray. We'll ask that the Lord will really speak to us through His word, and that He'll touch all of our hearts and help us not to settle. Heavenly Father, thank You for the way in which You've made each and every one of us, uniquely crafted and put together and gifted by You. But what for? God, some of us have no clue why You've made us the way You did. Why You've allowed different things to happen in our lives. We don't understand. But God, we know that You are the great orchestrator of all things, that You are sovereign, that You're in charge. You know what You're doing, and You have incredible things for each and every one of us. We pray, God, today that You would help us not to settle for maybe what we think we should be doing. Help us not to settle for anything less than what You have in store. God, we ask that You would help each one of us to be excited about knowing that You have a plan for us every single day. And God, we pray that You would open our spirits now just to receive from You, and that we would be receptive enough to not just hear words, but to receive directly from You through Your Spirit, God, to change and impact our lives so that we can do the same for the people around us. And we pray Your blessing on the rest of our service now, in Christ's name. Amen. Well, I've probably preached on this passage probably 10 times in my life. I've read this passage, and I've heard other people preach on it in my life too, and you've probably heard this passage many times. It's a familiar passage, right? So why is Pastor Glenn going to speak on this one? Well, I was really praying, Lord, what do You want me to speak about? Because I'm not here all the time. And this passage came to my mind, maybe because of some of the things that I'm going through in my life. And depending on whether I have time or not, I'm going to be as open and honest as Irene was last week. I understood that she was talking about forgiveness, and she included how, you know, she struggles with that. And, you know, finding God's plan for your life is hard, even when you've been a Christian for many, many years. Okay? So I struggle with it too, and I'll keep my eye on the clock, but if we have time, I'll share some of my struggles with you. But I really want to look at this passage maybe from a different vantage point. We're going to start off, I have 4 points, okay? Not a traditional 3-point sermon today, it's 4 points. Our first point is simply this: we need to obey God. Okay, if we want to follow God's plan, if we want to be like Peter, if we want to have this exciting, dynamic life where we are making a difference, where we're not settling for anything less than what God has in store, then we need to start off, or it needs to kind of have that foundation of obedience. It needs to start off there. You know, in the Hebrew language, I studied Hebrew way back when, and I don't remember Hebrew, but this is one of those things that I did remember. Whew. Remembered something from seminary. The word for hear or listen, to hear and to listen, is the same word as to obey. Get that? So to obey means to listen. It's not like in English when I say to my kids, come on down, it's dinner time now. They listen and they hear, but they don't always obey. Right? They're like, okay, Dad. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Subway Surfer. You know, and they'll continue doing whatever they're doing. So they're hearing me, but they're not obeying me. But in the Hebrew language, when the word is to hear or to obey, or I can't remember what the actual word is in Hebrew, but it means to obey. And so we need to obey God, which means we need to listen to him and obey him. And this passage starts off with, you know, Jesus had done lots of different things. And just before the passage we read, Jesus had fed the 5,000 people, and he had been teaching and then fed the people. And then immediately it says, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him. In other words, we know that he went up on the mountainside to pray. And so he was saying to his disciples, okay, I want you guys to get in the boat and start going, and I'll meet up with you. Okay, colloquial version. And what did they do? Oh, wait a minute, Jesus, we want to stay with you. There were times when they were like that. And they were like, no, we want to be with you and we want to follow you. But Jesus gave a simple command and they obeyed. Okay, you guys get in the boat and start going, I'll meet up with you. They didn't question, well, wait a minute, well, there's only one boat, Jesus. You know, should we go out and send someone back for it? No, they just obeyed. Simple obedience. That's kind of where it starts from. You know, and I think it's easy to obey God when we realize that God is sovereign, that he's in charge. You see, Jesus is Lord, and Jesus was their Lord, and so that means that they're not going to question him. They may not always understand what Jesus wants, or why Jesus is asking something, but they trust him. They'll obey him. Well, in T-ball last year, when I was the coach, the kids were just little, and that's why we use the T-ball. That's like baseball, but they don't get pitched at. The ball's right there, so it's nice and easy. Everyone know T-ball? Okay, if you don't know it, raise your hand, then. Oh, it's just like baseball, stationary ball sits there, and you go like this. You don't have to wait. You just hit it when you want. It's really hard, though, when you're 4, 5, and 6 years old, though, because that ball is only little and the bat's even too skinny. But it's basically like baseball, right? Now, baseball, for those of you that have been in Canada or North America long enough, baseball, simple game, right? It is simple. Except for the first time you see it, or someone's trying to teach you to play it, it's actually quite difficult. okay, you stand here with this stick in your hand and someone's going to throw a ball at you. Okay, sorry, if someone's going to throw a hard ball at me and I got a stick in my hand, I got to whack them. You know, it's hard. The first time you hear about, you know, and that's why you need the coaches. And you say, okay, if you hit the ball, run that way. They don't have to understand. Just run towards Coach Joe. You know, okay, there's Coach Joe. I'm running towards Coach Joe. And then when you get to Coach Joe, you stop. Okay? Then when that guy hits it, you're going to run over to Coach Joanne. You know, you just, they don't get it, but they're going to obey. You know, and then for the infielders, okay, if the ball comes towards you, get it. And then throw it to one of the base. We really didn't care which base they threw it to. Just teaching them to throw it to a base. Okay? And don't, like, throw it so far. And so that's what we were teaching them. If the ball comes towards you, get it, throw it to the base. Simple, right? Well, some of the kids, they don't understand and they don't obey. And that's when you get problems. So some of the kids learned the hard way. They see the ball. Well, it's not even close to them. And what do? It's a ball, and I'm a little guy, and I want the ball. And so you run towards it, and you don't look at anything else. You just look at the ball, and you're running right towards it, and you bang heads with someone else that's doing the same thing. And you learn the hard way, oh, I should have listened to Coach Glenn. Okay, and next time they learn, oh, that's why Coach Glenn put a big circle around me. I'm supposed to stay inside that, or I get hurt. And so they learn to obey. Stay inside your circle, would you? It's the same thing with God. He teaches us things, and sometimes we don't always understand, and sometimes we have to learn the hard way, and we bang our heads, right? We've all done it. But we learn, and hopefully we progress, and we don't make those mistakes. It's better to have immediate obedience, though. And you don't have to learn the hard way. Or learn the hard way from someone else. Right? Ooh, look at their life. Ooh. Okay, reminder to self, note to self, don't do that. Okay. The scripture is filled with examples of people who obey God without understanding. Think of Abraham and Isaac. God promises Abraham a son who, and also so many ancestors that see the number of stars, you can't even count them. That's how many, you know, ancestors you'll have. See this sand on the seashore. You know, that's going to be like your legacy. He has one son. God says to him, go and sacrifice him. Well, what did he do? God, do you remember this is the promised son? I'll quickly adopt this guy and then I'll sacrifice him. No, obedience. And he went and he had that trust in the Lord because God had been faithful in his life and he had experienced God. Obedience. He obeyed anyway, even when he didn't understand. And that's one of the things that God wants us to do. Sometimes when we don't understand, he just wants us to obey anyway. Hey, that rhymed. Should be part of a sermon. Obey anyway. Every day. Okay, point number two. So a foundation of an incredible life with God begins with obedience to him. The second thing, though, is that we need to follow Jesus' example. We need to follow Jesus' example. What I really like about this passage is this passage shows us something about Jesus and his character that goes... I have to be careful. I hope this isn't being recorded. And please hear it with forgiveness in your ears. It goes against what a lot of the churches teach us. Jesus' example here. Okay, now I'll explain it. Because I don't want to get stoned on the way out. Okay, what did Jesus do? Right after he had, you know, ministered to thousands of people, he had been preaching and he had been, you know, leading people close to God, and probably at the end of a hard day, he's exhausted. And what does he do? okay, you guys go off in the boat. Thank you, John. You guys go off in the boat, and I am going to go up here, and I'm going to spend some time with the Lord, my Father, and nurture my soul. That's what Jesus' example is. He didn't want to listen to everybody else. Think about what everyone else says. Wow, Jesus, this is incredible. You did this incredible miracle in front of 5,000 people. You got these people right where you want them. Now go back into their town and convert the rest of them. While the momentum's going, while everyone's excited about what God's doing, let's go. Come on, Jesus. I've got to withdraw to a quiet place, nurture my soul now. Goes against what the church teaches. Remember, hear that, please, with the forgiving ears. What does the church say? Or maybe I should rephrase it. What do a lot of people think in the church? Wow! Look at how spiritual she is. She's a Sunday school teacher, and she goes to prayer meeting every single time. She's part of the choir, and she plays the piano every other week. And she's one of the greeters on the other weeks. And she's on the missions team. She's helping out at the VBS. She's on the church retreat committee. And wow, she is such an incredible, healthy, committed Christian. I wish I could be like her. Who am I talking about in the church right now? Oh, don't point fingers at the person. Just because they're incredibly busy and they're doing awesome things, because all of those things are really important. And you can replace them with different things, right? Wow, look at that guy. He's helping out in the kitchen every single week. He greets people and he phones all of the people every single week that don't come to service just to see if they're okay. And they're so busy, you know, like Monday to Sunday. Woo! Spiritual Christian man. And that's what the church says. Look at how busy they are serving God. But do they do that withdrawing like Jesus did and nurture their own soul? Some of us get so busy that, oh man, I've been asked to help out with the youth group. Okay, yeah, because that'll make me spiritual. And in fact, sometimes you do get this rush of, wow, I'm really doing good for God. And we feed it ourselves, and we start thinking that if I just put more serving God, then I will become more spiritual. But it's not always that way. Nothing wrong with serving God, but are you serving God in the areas that he wants you to serve, in the giftedness that he's given you? Jesus says, love me first and love others. It's the greatest commandments. Love God and love others. And then I would say, out of that, out of loving God, comes the serving him. But Jesus also teaches us about the Sabbath. Jesus teaches us a Sabbath principle here. Even God in creation, 6 days he worked, and on the seventh day he rested. And then in the Ten Commandments, he included a Sabbath ordinance for us to follow. And yet our society is so busy. People work at their jobs 7 days a week, or they serve in church, and they just keep so busy, and there's no time to squeeze God in. Or if they do, they literally squeeze God in. Okay, God, I've got 5 minutes between, brushing my teeth and when I have to catch the bus. Okay, God, let's go. Okay, hey, it's better than nothing. But if you got to squeeze God in between your favorite TV show and going to the prayer meet, you know, if you want to be that healthy, committed Christian that everyone thinks you are, you got to do and follow Jesus' example. That's our second point. I hope that speaks to everyone, because this is where my honesty comes through. I came a month ago, and I was on a leave of absence. And in fact, I guess I didn't come in May and June, right? I think I took a couple months off. I phoned Pastor Stan and said, I'm really busy. Well, I was busy in a different sense. I wasn't teaching. I wasn't at the school. My doctor said, don't. Doctor said, you're not healthy. And if I'm not healthy, I can't help anyone else. And I was going downhill. See, I'd been a pastor for 12 years, and then I jumped into full-time schooling for a year in an intensive course, and then I jumped right into teaching young people grade 7 and 8 who have a lot of attitude, even in Christian schools. And it's challenging and hard, and I never took that extended period of Sabbath myself, and I burned myself out. And so I was no good for anyone. So as I'm preaching this, I'm speaking to myself. I needed time off, and I used that time to reflect. God, I'm not living that awesome, exciting life that if someone comes up to me and says, oh, you're a Christian, are you? I'd be like, yeah, it's so exciting. I couldn't have said that. I would have been like, yeah, I'm a Christian. I follow God. And boy, is my life hard and it stinks. That's where I was. I mean, if I was honest, I probably wouldn't have said that. But if I was honest with them, I would have. Because I wasn't nurturing my soul enough. And so I learn from this that yes, we need to have obedience to God. That's where it starts. But part of that obedience is following Jesus' example. We know from in here that we better not be stealing. We better not be murdering. We better not have lying tongue. We better not commit adultery. We know all those things. But we can also learn just by looking at the example of people in the Bible. And what better example than Jesus Christ himself? Jesus is the best example. Okay, I'm keeping my eye on the clock. Don't you worry. Okay, the third thing then. So we need to obey God. We need to follow Jesus' example of nurturing our soul. And then the third thing is we need to follow his voice. We need to follow his voice. It's not just follow his example, but we need to follow his voice and know his voice. The scripture says that my sheep hear my voice, and they know my voice, right? But if you're not spending that time nurturing your soul, spending really good time in God's presence, it's hard to hear his voice. And that was when Peter began to sink. You see, at first, he heard Jesus say, yeah, come. And he recognized, it is Jesus. And when Jesus says something, I follow, I obey. Think about it. If someone else called you out onto the water, I'm going boating this afternoon. Go figure. I'm going with my kids. The first time they're ever going to fish. My neighbor has a boat and he invited us. So we're going out. Well, if I see someone, maybe not walking on the water. If I see someone, on jet ski or something, and they say, oh, come on over. I'm not walking on the water towards you, unless it happens to be Jesus incarnate or something. I don't think Jesus is going to be on the water jet ski today, though. So if someone's going to call me to walk on the water, I ain't going. But Peter recognized that it was Jesus, And he's like, Jesus has called me. He said, come, I'm a going. He recognized who it was. He recognized his voice, and he went. And he walked on water. Wow, incredible. But he knew his voice. And he followed his voice. And we can hear God, and we can hear the Holy Spirit speaking to us. We can. And this was where I had a little section in my sermon where it was, okay, if the Lord leads. Well, I don't think he's leading because of the time. But I was going to. And actually, you know what? I'm going to tell you what I was going to do, because maybe it'll make you feel uncomfortable. And I'm going to actually get you to give me a show of hands just to really make you uncomfortable. How's that? Okay, I'm going to step away from the mic. Okay, I'll use my louder voice now. I was going to grab the mic, not this one. I would have grabbed the wireless. And said, so if we need to nurture our soul and we need to follow his voice, let's share, or who would like to share, how they hear the Lord. And I was going to come right out down the middle and ask for people to share how they hear from the Lord. And if you're uncomfortable now thinking, oh, he's going to come to me right now, because he knows there's a couple of minutes left. And if you're uncomfortable with, oh no, what am I going to say? Then maybe you're not nurturing your soul enough. But if I came to you right now with a microphone and said, how do you get close to God? And you're able to say, well, you know what? The best way that I spend time with the Lord is I do this. That's the way it should be, right? We should be able to be ready like that. Now, how many of you, if I came up to you right now, except for the people that are afraid to speak in public or something, or how many of you would have been a little uncomfortable if I had to come to you? Okay, a few honest people. Okay. Maybe that's why the Lord made the time run out. He doesn't want our people to be uncomfortable. Well, he does, but just to the point that uncomfortableness means, okay, Lord, I'm uncomfortable enough that I know you're speaking to me, and you don't want me to be like this. You want me to change. And that's uncomfortableness that's okay. All right, I need to finish, but point four is this, and it's just going to be two words. Trust him. Trust him. Obey God. Follow Jesus' example. Follow his voice. Listening to him. Listen to him. And then simply trust him. Because that's where this passage ends with. You know, he said, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? And the thing is as you spend that time with God, that trust builds and it develops. So the last point is simply this: as you do those things, that trust will come. Let's pray together, and then our worship team will come up and finish us off. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word today, and thank you for the uncomfortableness that we feel, that we recognize, God, that, you know, our walk with you is of utmost importance, but sometimes we put it on the back burner and we let our life fill up with other things. And we don't recognize your voice because we're so busy listening to what everyone else has to say. Or we're so busy trying to fulfill everyone else's expectations of us, and we're neglecting your expectations of us. And your expectations of us are simply to listen and obey, follow you and love you. God, help us to go back to that beginning stuff that we know so well, and to put our walk with you, our relationship with you, as our priority every single day. Help us to love you, and help us to do incredible things for you, God, as we learn to trust you and as we learn to nurture our walk with you. So thank you for this time that we've had together, and please continue to work in our lives and change us and challenge us. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.